Good morning. My name is Clayton, and I'm lead pastor here at Central. I'm glad you guys are with us. Thanks for being here today. If you're guests, I'm so glad you're here. If you're watching online, thanks for being with us today. Today is Super Bowl Sunday. It's kind of like our pastime as a nation. But if you think about it, the real pastime for our nation is collecting stuff, okay? Collecting. Isn't that true? Collecting stuff? We love to collect stuff. In fact, at my house, we are calling 2025 the year of the purge at our home. And each week, Holly and I, we're going through like a room of the house, a closet in our home to try to just get rid of a bunch of stuff. And the other day, we were upstairs going through a closet that has it's full of games and books and things like that. And we went through stuff we didn't realize we had. You know, we haven't seen that in years. And we went and we found this group of little kids' books. And we started looking through those, and we were going, should we just sell these in garage sale? Should we get rid of them? Should we keep them? And Holly said this, no joke. She's like, maybe we should keep them for the grandkids someday. And I'm like, don't say that. I mean, my kids are 16 and 19. Like, I'm not ready for that. And sure enough, we've got them in our closet ready for the grandkids someday. Anybody else done that? Yeah, you guys have done that. When I was growing up, my favorite book, the book that I still remember, the little kid's story book is The Little Engine That Could. Anybody like The Little Engine That Could? Man, it's like my favorite little kid's book. This little engine, he's small, didn't have the power, and through perseverance, he's able to get up the mountain. It was just an awesome story of an encouragement. I still remember the book. It was written in the 50s. I got the copy from the 50s. My grandparents gave it to me. And I remember the pictures on that page. It was just so inspirational to me. Well, today, we're going to actually look at a kid's storybook. And it is Jonah and the Whale. Okay? We're going to look at this today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah. It's about 60% through the Bible, about right there, a little bit after halfway in the Old Testament. We're actually going to look at it today, but I want to start by reading this little book called Jonah and the Whale. So bear with me, okay? This is really deep theological stuff this morning. Here's what it says. This is Jonah. He's a good man. One day, God speaks to him. I want you to go to Nineveh and tell everyone they need to behave. But I don't want to, Jonah said. So Jonah decides to run away. May I join your ship? Of course, welcome aboard. Well, the ship soon sets sail and Jonah snuggles down for a nap. Out of nowhere, a huge storm blows up. Winds rip the sails, waves drench the deck. The ship will sink, help! Okay. In a panic, the sailors wake Jonah. This is all my fault. I ran away from God, explains Jonah. He sent the storm to punish me, so throw me overboard and the storm will stop. The sailors didn't want to hurt Jonah, but they had no choice. Good luck! I love that. Splash! At that very moment, the storm stops. We're saved! Jonah was right. Meanwhile, Jonah sinks down, down, down. I'm going to drown. With a whoosh, a massive whale swims up. Dinner time. Uh-oh. The whale opens its enormous mouth and swallows Jonah in one great big gulp. Jonah is stuck in the whale's tummy for 3 long days. I wish I hadn't run away. But then the whale swims to shore and spits Jonah out. Whoosh. God has saved me. Woo! The end. Obviously, that's not how the story ends. Right? There's way more to this story. But sometimes we look at stories in the Bible that way. Well, let me give you a little background about Jonah. You see, Jonah was a real person. He was in the 8th century B.C. He was a prophet of God who spoke on God's behalf to the people of God. And it was fact, he was during the reign of King Jeroboam II, which was just, he was a bad, bad king. But God was using him to speak into Jeroboam's life. And Matthew chapter 12, Jesus even says that Jonah was a real person. So this isn't a fairy tale. This isn't a make-believe story. This isn't just a fable in the Old Testament. This is a real guy. And yet his story is pretty unreal. And so what God does is he tells Jonah, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. You ask, where is Nineveh? It sounds like an awesome place. I mean, it's like a vacation spot. Where is it? Well, Nineveh is 500 miles away from Israel in modern day Iraq. Okay, it's a place you did not want to go to. It was the capital city of the Assyrians. And the Assyrians were bad people. They were enemies of God's people. They worshiped pagan gods. They were brutal to their enemies. It was just a bad place. It was not a place you wanted to go. So instead, Jonah flees to Tarshish. Y'all say Tarshish with me. Tarshish. It's hard to say, right? Okay, I've been practicing all week for that moment. Okay, so he went to Tarshish. Where was Tarshish? Well, we're not really sure, but we think that it was actually in southern Spain, in this place called Tarsessus. It was 2,800 miles away. It was a location that was the furthest known place on the planet for the Israelite people, for God's people, which means that Jonah was like running to the ends of the earth to get away from God. And so this storm comes while he's in this boat, and Jonah knows that God is actually trying to speak to him and get a hold of him and get his attention, but Jonah doesn't want anything to do with it, and so he literally goes down into the bottom of the ship and tries to just sleep through it all. In fact, he didn't want to follow God at all. He didn't want to change his ways at all, to the point where he was willing to just be thrown into the ocean instead of turn around and obey God. And so that's what happens. This great giant fish, we don't think it was a whale, we think it's actually a fish, comes in and swallows Jonah when he's going down into the depths of the sea and saves him. And he's in this fish for 3 days and three nights. And it's crazy. You think, how in the world could that happen? Well, the answer is it's a miracle, okay? It's just a miracle. And sometimes in the Bible, things happen. We can't understand it, but we can trust God in the middle of this story. And he has a purpose for this story. Now, in this story, there is one simple truth that I want to begin with today to help us to understand God's purpose for the story, and it's this, that regardless of your head start, you can't outrun God, okay? Think about Jonah's story. I mean, he got a pretty good head start. I mean, he is going to the ends of the earth, but he couldn't outrun God. And you and I, we can't outrun God either. And all of us have had different kinds of head starts. Some of us have run from God, and God quickly got a hold of us and rescued us, and we were back walking with him. Some of us were gone for many years, and we were doing our own thing, and yet God got a hold of us. And the sad truth this morning is that some people have been running from God their whole life, and they will continue to do that, and they will die separated from God. We're not sure why, but every single one of us runs from God. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says that all of us are like sheep. And you know what sheep are? Sheep are stupid, okay? Which means that you and I are pretty stupid sometimes too. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own path. You see, we run from God because we think we know it's best, don't we? We think that we're right, and we trust in ourselves, in our own abilities, in our own plans, in our own ways, instead of trusting in God. Here's the truth. Every single one of us has run from God, okay? Maybe you're running from God right now, or you have run from God in the past. But also, you need to realize that every single one of us also have another part of our story, and that we have been pursued by God. Every one of us runs, but every single one of us is being pursued by God. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says this. He says, "For the Son of Man, he himself came to seek and to save those who are lost." In our family, in our house, we used to play hide and seek all the time as a family. I mean, it's kind of, sometimes kids do that together, but we do that as a family. And so one of us would be it, and we would be in the laundry room, and our dog would be in there with us, and we had to count to 100, and the rest of us would go and run and hide. I just want y'all to know, as a grown man, I was really good at this game, okay? Just hide all over the place. I hide behind curtains, hide in the laundry hamper with clothes on top of you. I'd hide like in behind the cushions in the couch. That's a good spot, everybody, to hide. And we would go and hide, and our dog would always find us. I mean, he loved playing this game, going and trying to find us. Well, God is in that same business. He is seeking us out. He is pursuing us. Why is he doing that? It's because he loves us. He loves you. That's why God never stops running after you. And he also loved Jonah the same way. And he didn't let Jonah just go to the ends of the earth and escape. He continued to pursue Jonah. And this fish was not a punishment for Jonah. It was his rescue. And maybe today God is beginning to create a fish story in your life, where he is rescuing you from whatever situation you find yourself in, however long you've been running from him. Maybe today, and I believe if you're here today, God is in the pursuit business in your life. He's pursuing after you. So here's how this story really goes, because we know that there's more to this story. So Jonah, he's in the whale and in the fish, and he prays. God answers his prayer. He is saved, but then God doesn't just leave him alone. God actually calls him a second time, okay? Just because he'd run, God didn't change his plans. He didn't say, hey, you can do whatever you want now. He's like, no, I still got this calling on your life. I want you to go to Nineveh. And so that's what Jonah does. And so let's look at Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, okay? Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. So we'll pick up the story from the kids' book into God's word. And here's what it says. Jonah entered the city, and he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's like the shortest sermon of all time, okay, guys? 5 Hebrew words, that was it. And honestly, it might be the worst sermon of all times. I mean, there's been times in my life where I've been up here and I've preached sermons that I just thought were just awesome. Like, I am learning stuff as we're going. Everything is clicking. It's amazing. I think everybody's life is going to be changed. We ended on time. It's awesome. It's perfect. And then you guys just like bail on me and leave, like without saying a word to me, okay? And I'm just like, why did y'all not respond? And I'm discouraged by that. But then there's also times where I preach these sermons and it's just awful. And I'm the one that wants to bail, okay? I'm like, I got to get through this thing. I just want to be done with this. I mean, the teenagers are on their phone down here. Half of you guys are just resting your eyes. Doing that. I'm listening, just resting my eyes. Whatever, okay? And so I'm like, I just got to get out of this moment. And so I say amen. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm just going to hide for the rest of the week. And someone will stop me in the hallway or email me and say, God really spoke to me. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, you must have listened to a different sermon. But God does that, right? God uses our inabilities all the time to do incredible things. And this is what happened in this story, in this very simple sermon that I don't even know. Maybe Jonah was just kind of mailing it in this message. We're not sure if these are his only words or just a summation of what he said. But everyone believed in God. Everyone believed God's message in this story. And it was incredible. And here's another truth for this moment that we see in this story, that when you give him open hands, God does the heavy lifting, doesn't he? When we try to, instead of trying to do it all on our own, we just trust God in this moment. God is the one who does all of the work. And this is what happened to Jonah. Jonah's like, okay, God, fine. I'm tired of running. I'll do whatever you call me to do. And he gives God open hands. His open hands are full of sand and fish guts, and he's like, it's just an awful situation. He's like, God, okay, finally, I submit to you. I'll do what you've called me to do. And God wasn't calling Jonah to be perfect. I mean, look at his sermon. He wasn't calling to be perfect. He was calling him to be obediently available. God, I'm willing to be used by you. And we need to realize this morning that God, he wants your empty hands, but he won't leave you empty-handed. He's calling you to do something. I believe that every single one of us, he's calling us, but he's not going to leave you by yourself. He is going to provide for you, and he's going to do the heavy lifting. So let me ask this. Has God put a call on your life that you've been running from? No matter who you are, or what you've been doing, no matter what your background is, your occupation, or your family situation, has God put a call on your life that you've been running from? You want to know what God's call is for your life? I know what it is. Here's what it is. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. This is God's call in your life. This is your Nineveh. It's a clear, undeniable call to go. Not to go away, but to go towards. And it might be meaning going across the world, or it might mean going across your living room. And as a church, we always kind of say this. This is kind of one of our sayings, that we are sent, not served. Okay? Meaning that God has put a call on our lives as a church, but as our lives as families and individuals, that we are to be sent. We're on mission. It's not about us. The things we're doing, the things we're building, whatever it may be, it's not about us. It's about being sent by God. And Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples of all the nations. And this word nations is, in Greek, it's ethnos. It's where we get the word ethnicity, meaning that it's not about like actual countries, but it's actually about different people groups. Meaning that all over the world, people that are different from one another, God has called us to all of them, not just some of them. But the truth is that we kind of have a fear of evangelism. I mean, that's just kind of a thing that we as Americans, as Christian Americans, we just kind of fear evangelism sometimes. And I think the reason is maybe there's two reasons. One is some of us are perfectionists, okay? Anybody perfectionists in this room? Like, I want everything to be perfect. I got these plans. It needs to happen in this way. And if we can't control that, if we can't make that happen, if the outcome is unknown, like we're just going to not do it if we can't do it exactly how we want to do it. Or we're afraid that someone may ask a question, someone may stump us, and so we're like, you know, I'm just not going to even get into sharing my faith at all. Some of us are also control freaks. Anybody a control freak in this room? Okay, I'm a perfectionist and a control freak. It's not good for me, okay? Control freaks are the ones who want the outcome to be exactly how they want it to be. And if we can't ensure that that's going to happen, we'll back away. We'll back away. Here's what's going on. God has called every one of us to be open-handed and available to him. But I think for a lot of us, what we're doing is we have mastered the art of the slow play, okay? You know what the slow play is? My daughter, when she plays softball on her club team, they're playing tournaments, and the games are actually timed. It's crazy. It's not based on innings. It's based on like an hour and 15 minutes, okay? They start the beginning of the game, they start the clock in an hour and 15 minutes. Whoever's winning, whoever's losing, whoever's up to bat, doesn't matter. The game is over. And so Hannah's team will be up 6-5. There's like 5 minutes left in the game, and they're out in the field, and the other team is batting. And you know what we do, right? You slow down, okay? So the pitcher starts playing a little bit slower, and there's a foul ball, and the outfielder's like, I'll get it. You know, like just going slow. The coach will come out in between every pitch and say, talk to the pitcher, say, all right, bring in a new pitcher. And that person comes out and they've got to warm up, and the clock is just running the whole time. You're just trying to get out of the game, right? You're just trying to run out the clock. Are you doing that in your obedience to God? In your call that God has put on your life to share your faith with other people? Are you just running out the clock? Like, ah, it's my cousin. And you know what? The timing's just not good. And I know I need to talk to them. I believe, God, you've called me to do this, but you know, I'm kind of busy. They're kind of busy, or whatever. Or, God, I believe you're calling me overseas. I believe you're calling me to the ends of the earth. But you know what? Man, I just haven't got around to get my passport. And you know, there's just too many things going on in my life. Like you're just trying to run out the clock. And a lot of us, we do that when it comes to being on mission for God. But when Jonah gave God his open hands, God did the heavy lifting, and something amazing happened. The people were saved. And that should be the happy ending to the story, right? But it's not. You see, God actually had a plan to wipe out the Ninevites. And yet when they repented and they turned from their sin and they trusted in God, God saved them. And here's what happens to the rest of the story. Jonah chapter 4. Look at verse 1 and 2. Here's what happens. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, okay? And he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord. God did something incredible, and Jonah was not happy about it. He goes on to pretty much say, God, I knew you'd do something like this. How could you? I can't believe that you would save them. And what happened is his fears had come true, his worst fears of God blessing someone who didn't deserve it, okay? I mean, he was a good Jew. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He wanted God's people to be blessed, and he prayed, and he sought that out his entire life. And yet when God decided to bless and save someone else, he was not happy with it. It was selfishness, right? Simple as that. And you see in the story, he prayed for God for God to do something in his life several times. He actually, in the middle of the fish, he prays to God. He says, God, save me. And God saves him, and he's eternally grateful. But when God saved those filthy Assyrians, he was actually pretty disappointed in God, to the point where he's like, God, just kill me. I'm just tired of it, okay? Over and over again, he's like, I just end my life. I don't want any more of this. It's kind of silly. It's kind of selfish. It's kind of immature. But that's Jonah's story. So what Jonah does is when they're all saved, Jonah, he goes out of the city, sits on a hill, and God, he's pouting really, and God provides a shelter for him from the sun. And then God actually takes the shelter away and makes this the plant die. And when the shelter comes, he's exceedingly glad, the Bible says. I mean, he's so thankful for God for providing for me again. And then when God takes it away, he gets upset again. I don't know what God's purpose was in that. I think God was just kind of messing with him a little bit. You know, anybody know, like when a kid has a temper tantrum, and are you the person who comes and like coddles them? It's like, it's okay. Tell me about your feelings. Are you okay? Or are you the person that when someone's throwing a temper tantrum, you just kind of like, want to stick the knife in a little bit more? Anybody like that? That's me. I just want to egg them on a little bit. I don't know if God was doing that. Spiritual gift, maybe. I don't know. But no, that's not true at all. So scratch that. So that this is what was going on. God was like, what's going on? Are you kidding me? And in this moment, we actually see Jonah's meltdown. We've been talking about meltdowns in our lives. Well, Jonah has a meltdown in this story. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, the sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and he wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Like, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, here's what I think was going on. Jonah finally had a real meltdown. He's like, God, I've got great plans for my life, and I even have great plans for you, okay? I've got great plans for you to provide for me and take care of me and make a way for me. I mean, can anybody relate to that? Where we're like, God, I've got these awesome plans. Would you get on board with my great plans and bless those things? This is what Jonah was doing. His meltdown was that he thought he was better than God. He thought he was smarter than God. He thought he was more righteous than God. And the sad reality is a lot of times we are the same. We're the same way. We've been talking in this series about what is God's response? When we have a meltdown like that, what does God say to us in response? Well, look at the end of this story, verses 10 and 11. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there? It came quickly and died quickly. Here's my interpretation of what God's saying. He's saying, who do you think you are? Okay? Why are you so selfish? Has God ever said that to you? Why are you so selfish? Why does it always have to be about you? Because it's not all about you. It's not. It's about him. It's about him in your life. And he goes on and says this. This is the ending of the story. And I wish this story kind of wrapped itself into a bow, a happily ever after, but it really doesn't. Here's what happens. God says this, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? And here we find one more final lesson for today. And it's this, that even when you can't see God's reasons, you can trust his heart. I believe this is what God is teaching us in the middle of this. Even when you don't know why he's doing what he's doing, and Jonah obviously didn't get it, you can trust him. And look, God may not explain himself to you, but he will show you his heart. And what is his heart for? Well, it's for the 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness. We need to realize today that there are 3 billion unreached people in this world. That's a lot of people. 7,000 different people groups are lost and have never heard about Jesus. Another way to put this is that 40% of the entire world's population have never had a Jonah go to them and share the truth of God's love for them. God has a great, incredible desire and love for those kind of people. We see it around here. But I want to say this. He also has a desire for you too. He loves you too. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for your sins, because of his incredible great love for you. When Jesus is saying the Great Commission, that we call it, in the end of Matthew chapter 28, to go and make disciples. I don't know if you caught it, but I left something out, okay? Left something out on purpose because we need to come back to it. You see, at the end, this is actually how he finished that statement. He said this, I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to teach them. But then he says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God may not show you why your mom gets sick and dies, while that other person you know who's not living for God gets healed. He may not show you why. You may not understand why you're living paycheck to paycheck and that family across the street, they're just living for themselves, but they've got three cars and a boat in the driveway. You're like, that is unfair. God, why are you not blessing me? It seems like you're blessing them. Why are you not blessing me? God may not reveal that to you, but he will reveal his heart to you. And his heart is full of love for them and for you as well. And we see it through him sending Jesus for us. See, the story of Jonah doesn't have a fairy tale ending. What it actually is, it's more of like this meltdown in a mirror. And we see his meltdown, but it's a mirror because in seeing his meltdown, we're also seeing our own meltdown. When we look at his life, we're actually looking at our lives as well. And his meltdown is just this pure selfishness. And we see his selfish character. And in it, we also see sometimes our selfish character. God is calling you to something bigger than yourself. And my challenge to you is to do this. If you're running from God, to stop. He is pursuing you. He'll always pursue you. But you have the free will to stop or not. My prayer is that you would stop and you would turn. And you begin to have a heart like his heart. And you'd be open-handed and say, God, use me however you see fit. And I leave the results in your hands. And what's going to happen is you're going to have an opportunity to see God show up in incredible ways. And he will do the heavy lifting and he will do his work. And you will live a life that is pleasing to him. And he will bring you so much joy in this life. I believe for every single one of us, God has chosen us. He's chosen you. And he's called you to go wherever that may be. And that actually starts right now. So my prayer for you, my encouragement to you is that you would go and begin to pray this week. God, who is that one person that you're calling me to reach, to share my faith with, to encourage, to love on? Who is that person? May I not try to run out the clock. May I not run from that calling in my life. Instead, may I just be obedient to you and leave the results in your hands. Begin to pray about who is that person and go and share your faith. But also, one of the easiest ways you can do that is just invite them to church. Invite them to come here so they can hear the good news about Jesus. This is our calling. Just like Jonah, his calling wasn't to run, but to run towards God and God's purposes. Same goes for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your story today, this simple story yet profound story of Jonah who is running from you. And man, what a great and tragic example it is for our own lives. We are runners. We run from you. It's just by our nature. Some of us in this room, some of us listening right now, have been running our entire lives, and we don't have a relationship with you. And I pray right now for those people, God, that you would save them today. May they stop running. May they realize that you have an incredible love for them. So much so that you sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay for their sins. And he rose on the third day to prove that he is God. And he has conquered sin and death on their behalf. That they would just trust and believe. Instead of trusting themselves, they would trust and believe in you. And God, that you would save them, give them a great purpose in this life, and bless them in incredible ways. God, I pray for those of us who are saved. You've already rescued us, but we just have that tendency to wander, to get apathetic, try to run out the clock. God, you've called each one of us. No matter who we are, no matter what our profession is, no matter what age we are, you've called every one of us to go, to share, to be obedient to you. God, I pray that that would start right now. Give us one person that we can go and share our faith with. That person that you love, the person you are pursuing. And it's amazing that we get to be a part of that if we would just be obedient to you. Help us to do that this week, we pray in Jesus' name.